Welcome to the October 1st, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Who Gets to Give the Cup of Water? If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church, and it is a beautiful day to be together in the house of the Lord here at Winston-Salem, corner of Polo and Rinalda. We are glad that you made your way to this location at this time and to worship God this morning. We thank you for being here this morning. We do want to find out who was here. There are pew pads on every pew. We'd like for everybody in the congregation today to sign these pew pads. Members, just put your name, any changed contact information, and then just check the appropriate boxes. And we ask if you're a guest this morning to fill out all the information as you feel able and comfortable so that we can be able to contact you later with information about our church. Send that to everybody on the pew, and then when it gets to the end, send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick those up a little bit later in the service. Reminder of the things that are going on today. Our youth are headed for paintball right after church. So you can be thinking of us and especially thinking of the leaders who will be being pounded this afternoon. So please, adults, you are more than welcome to come and be target practice this afternoon. We'll be going to paintball. We should be returning about 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be leaving just after church, headed to grab some lunch. And then parents, they will be back at 4. Then we'll head to youth choir and the regular youth schedule this afternoon. Everything else is as normal, both Sunday night and Wednesday night. I do want to make an announcement about our junior co-ed basketball team. This is for 4th through 6th graders, guys and girls. They are so excited about getting ready. They're starting early. So they are practicing this Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock in Smith Hall. So if you are interested in playing on that team, 4th through 6th graders, come and be a part of that. Our other teams, our 7th through 12th grade girls teams will be starting in a couple of weeks, and we do need a coach for that team. So if you have any kind of interest or ability, or you have no skill whatsoever, we will take you as a basketball coach. So we'll be starting that on the 17th of October. That team, 7th through 12th grade girls team, needs a coach. Then we also will be starting our 7th to 9th grade guys team and our 10th to 12th grade guys team. So there's 4 teams that we're having, and all of that will start on October the 17th. And except for junior co-ed, they will be starting this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Let's see. I think that's all the regular announcements I've got. I do want to recognize Ron. Come on.
Good morning. It is time to begin the process of deacon nominations. And the beginning of that process, I believe if you were in Sunday school, there were notes in the class concerning that. But next Sunday morning, October the 8th, the nominations will be open to begin receiving nominations for deacons. And that process will continue through the following Sunday, October 15th. And then we'll proceed on from there, and actual deacon election Sunday will be November the 5th. So if you'll be thinking this week about who you would like to nominate as to be a deacon, we will begin that process next Sunday. Thank you.
And also like to recognize Cindy Johnson. Come on.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to invite each of you to come out on Sunday nights and be a part of our life service. For those of you that have never been to a life service, the fun thing about it is that it is a little bit different each week. We never have the same format. For the summer, we had it outside. Now, since we're getting into the fall, we're going to be moving back inside. But we do a little bit of different things every week. And it is more contemporary music. We have a band and have a good time doing that. Last week, we began taking part of ministry. What we want to do is we're not just meeting together on Sunday nights to just meet together, but we actually see life as a ministry opportunity. And so as Raymond has been teaching and we've been learning over the last few weeks about witnessing and serving and giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, we actually are practicing that as a part of our life service. So last week we met and sang for about 15 or 20 minutes. We broke up into small groups and we went out into the community and served. We went and visited some fire stations, went and visited the hospital, a convalescent center, some prison and jail visitation. And it was a beautiful part of serving the Lord and of showing our community that College Park is alive and that we love the Lord. And so we're going to be doing the same type of thing tonight, but we're going to be staying here. And so I'd like to invite you to be a part of that service by helping us take up some donations. What we're doing tonight is we are putting together some packages to send to the people that are still suffering from Katrina. And I have a very good friend who has moved to Gulfport for a year and has decided to serve as a missionary there. And I spoke with her last week, and she gave me a list of some things that they are still very much in need of. And if you are interested in helping us out, I have that list down at the information center. And I want to tell you what a couple of the things are. She is specifically working with some teachers, a second grade class and a high school class, and they are in need of board games, flashcards, all of those type of teaching tools, game teaching tools. They are still in need of towels and pillows. Some of the families are still in need. And she said one of the best ways for us to help them out is to buy gift cards. Number one, they're easy for us to mail. Number two, they can hand those out and the teachers or the families are able to get exactly what they need. And she specifically mentioned Walmart gift cards and gift cards to Barnes & Noble and Bed Bath & Beyond. And that's for the families to be able to go and get, you know, what they're still missing from Katrina. So if you're interested, we're going to be taking that up tonight. You can drop it off as you come to the life service, or if you come to a discipleship class, you can just come in Smith Hall and drop it off for us. And also, we really need them today, but if you can't get them back by today, you can bring them into the church office by Wednesday, and we're going to try to mail this off. And I wanted to share a verse of scripture that God showed me last night out of 2 Corinthians. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And this church is a church of faith, a church that can really teach and can really share, a very knowledgeable church. But God also challenges us to give. And so that's what we're asking you to do. Come be a part of our life service and help us serve through giving. Thanks.
Thank you, Cindy. Another way that we invite you guys to serve is by being our prayer partners for the children and the youth in our church. Y'all have done an exceptional job with picking up those names and the envelopes at the desk that's just outside, just off the Welcome Center. There are a couple envelopes there if you have not had opportunity to pick those up. There's also on the little desk, the prayer partner desk, you will find a list of all the students that I have a prayer partner sheet for, and then a list of the people who have told me that they are their prayer partner. What I invite you to do, if you haven't called or emailed me to let me know that you do have a prayer partner, or if you have called and just want to check, I'd like for you to check your name, write your name in, make sure that I've got the correct ones on that list. So if you haven't got a prayer partner, pick up a name. If you do have a prayer partner, check the list and make sure your name is on the correct student to make sure that we have all our information correct. Reminder, we do have a couple of openings that are still remaining in our Sunday school and our preschool Sunday school director, as well as several Sunday school classes that are looking for help to help every week and teaching Sunday school to our children, as well as other openings. Pay attention to the newsletter that our openings remain in there, and we desperately need some help in making sure our children and our youth have people to teach them God's ways and God's word, and we appreciate your being considering those opportunities. It is time for us to begin in worship. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We know that you've already given us your information on the pew pads. But we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now who would like to give you some information about our church. They have packets of information. You know, you've already given us your information about where you live and about how to contact you, but we want to give you information about our church. Inside this packet of information is things that are going on in the life of our church, activities that are regularly happening, as well as things that are going on right now. We want you to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning to take one of these packets. Inside you will find a newsletter as well that gives you the most up-to-date information, as well as a letter from our pastor to welcome you to our church this morning. And we pray that this worship service will be a great time for you to be here. It is time for us to begin our hour of worship. And each week we join our voices together in a responsive reading to begin that hour of worship. You will see this printed in your bulletin. I will be reading the light print. I invite you to read the dark print. Would you stand now for our invitation to share in worship? Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies.
You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes we wonder exactly what you want from us. There are days when we are overwhelmed. There are days when our questions don't find answers. And so sometimes we come to worship not knowing the right things to say or the right things to do. And we wonder, what would you have for us? What would you want us to say to you this morning? Father, all you ask of us is to give ourselves to you. We don't have to say things the right way. We don't have to use the right words. We come to worship, and we want our worship to be true. And all you ask of us is to give you our hearts. We don't have to be the best singer. We don't have to be the most outgoing person. You call on us to just give ourselves away. Give ourselves to you during this time. And it's right that we do so, because you gave so long ago your Son to die on the cross for our sins. You gave everything so that we might have life. And so as we come into this worship hour, this time we have gathered together, we know that you want to hear us. You want to hear our hearts giving in to you. And that is what you need. That is what you need from us. Because when we give ourselves to you, we are doing what you call. God, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
We come to the baptism of waters. It's a delightful time. It's a joyful time. It's a time of celebration because there is, I think, some critical opportunities that we have along our journey of faith. And this is one of those stops, a step of obedience, a stop of obedience as we come and we pause together as a congregation to celebrate. So this morning we come together to celebrate the baptism of two. First, Lisa Patterson. Lisa and her fiancé, John, came several weeks ago for membership here at College Park. And Lisa came expressing that she had not experienced believer's baptism, although she has accepted Jesus Christ. And she wanted to be faithful to the example of our Lord and follow Him in believer's baptism. So that's why she's here this morning. We celebrate with you, Lisa. I want to recognize those who have been a part of their journey. If you are family or friends, or those who have had a part in her Christian education in the Sunday school, or other studies perhaps over at the university, we invite you to stand with us at this time to acknowledge family and friends. And also, John, if you would come and please deliver a charge at this time.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul writes, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Lisa, in the years that I've known you, I have been privy to glimpses of the things unseen behind your actions. In your interactions with your family, I can see the undying love that you have for them to minister to them. In your interactions with your students as a teacher, I can see the driving passion to use all of your gifts and talents to help them in every way you can. But more importantly, in a time of great change in your life, I've been able to see glimpses of your growing walk with Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. And so my charge to you at this this milestone in your life is what Paul wrote in Romans 13, verse 8, when he says, 'Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law.' Go forward and use that love and that passion that you have in everything you do so that others can see those beautiful things unseen behind your actions that I've been able to."
Lisa, because you publicly professed Christ as your Savior and sought to follow His example, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Son, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus also commanded us to let our light shine before men. And so you've chosen one of your friends to come today to give to you a candle, which will be a remembrance. And as you see that, you'll take that home with you. And as you see that, I want it to remind you that we are supposed to let our light shine before men. You be seated. This is Tyler Lee. You know Tyler. We all know Tyler. And we rejoice about this day, buddy. You know what? We're happy. This is a good day. And you've grown here among us for many years now, and there's been a lot of people that have been a part of your journey of faith. And I want to ask family and friends and all those who have had a part in his Christian education, if you would please join us in standing. And he's asked Roger Jones if he would deliver a charge to him this morning.
Thank you. Tyler, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be a part of this charge today. You came in our lives when you were 4 years old, you and your mother, Rita, and my family has enjoyed the opportunity to be involved with you. Carol and her family, Charles and his family, Lee and his family. And this youth group that sits here in front of us today have accepted you and brought you along as you've grown in your Christian time. It's a pleasure to share with you. We talked about scriptures, and I decided that I wanted to give you my scriptures. And that's Matthew 25, 35 through 45. Tyler, this is a guide for my life. It's a guide for the people of this church. And it's a guide that I hope you will claim and live up to. I'm going to read you a passage and then say a name of a person. I was hungry and you gave me meat. Jan Doty, the soup kitchen. Meals on Wheels people. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Bob and Carolyn Ely. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Wes and Barbie Morgan, in all of their mission travels, meet strangers all the time and take them in. Our WMU, who serve through missionaries around the world, take in strangers. I was sick. And you visited me. And I think of this congregation. What a marvelous job they do in visiting and caring for our sick. I think of Raymond and Jeff and Jason and our deacons of the week who make their visits. I was in prison and you visited me. And I think of Gary Elkins, Gary Zafuto, Jerry Cook, John Crabb, Dennis Palmer, C.F. Clark, people who diligently visit our prisons.
Naked.
I was naked, and you clothed me. I think of this congregation and how they give clothing for the people at Crisis Control to help people in need of clothing. And then, more important, I think of our college students at Mountain Outreach who spend their Christmas holidays giving out clothing to people in that area. And the Lord said, When did we see you naked, hungry, thirsty, sick, and in prison? And he said unto them, for as much as you do this for the least of these, my brothers, you do it unto me. Tyler, hope you will claim this as your passage and your guide for your life. We love you.
Tyler, because you have publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you've chosen to take this important step in your journey together, it's a pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Tyler, your mama's here, and she's going to hand you a candle that you're going to let your light shine before me. I know she's proud of you, buddy. We're proud of you, too.
Just as Lisa and Tyler have ministered to us through example this morning, and a powerful one, let us share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture. I'll be reading first from the Old Testament in the book of Esther, beginning in the 7th chapter and continuing into the 9th chapter. In the 7th chapter, I'll be reading the first 6 verses and then verses 9 and 10. And those children among us who are part of Vacation Bible School will recognize this as a familiar story. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And as they were drinking wine on that second day, the king again asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, for no such distress would justify disturbing the king." King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing?" Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman." Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A gallows 75 feet high stands by Haman's house. He had it made for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, 'Hang him on it.' So they hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided." And continuing in chapter 9 with the 20th verse. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as a time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned to joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe these days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Also from the New Testament in the book of James, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins." May God bless the reading and understanding of his word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, on this beautiful Sunday morning, we come to you with humble hearts. We come to you as sinners who are weak, sinners who seek your strength and your forgiveness and your redeeming grace and power. Lord, we do not want to just read the Scripture. We don't want to just know the Scripture. We want and need to believe the Scripture, to take hold of what the Scripture says as our own, to let it deepen our relationship with you. Lord, we believe what the Scripture says. We are grateful for the opportunity to come to you directly in prayer, not only on our own behalf, but on the behalf of others. And Lord, as we think about our brothers and sisters among us who are dealing with so much, those who are sick. Lord, we want to come to you on their behalf and pray for healing. Lord, we cannot heal them, but we know you can. We cannot touch their hearts and minds in the ways that they need to be touched, but we know you can. Lord, we pray for these this morning. And we want to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters each and every day and be faithful. Because as the scripture says, if we're going to be faithful to them as our Christian brothers and sisters, we must pray for them. Let us be prayer warriors for those around us, those who know you and those who don't yet know you. Let us lift them up. Let us be your agents in helping bring them closer to you. Lord, the scripture also says that when we have a praise, when we're happy, we should sing songs for joy. And we've got many songs to sing. Lord, thank you for Tyler and Lisa. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their willingness to stand up for you, to accept Jesus Christ, to allow Jesus to be the guiding force in their lives. Lord, we have learned so often, both in this church and other places, that the children can teach us lessons that we as adults need to learn so many times over again. Lord, help us to be followers to the leadership of our children and their example, their faith in you. Lord, that we know that if we're going to do what you've called us to do, that we must abide in you, that we must find your presence in our lives. Help us to seek you every day. Help us to look for a deeper relationship with you. We know that you are the vine and we are the branches. And that if we are going to bear fruit, that we must abide in you and remain in you to do your will in our lives. Lord, thank you for this church. And as we seek to go out and do in your name, help us to do just that, to be about you and not about ourselves. Lead us under your guidance and help us to follow you, the example of your Son, and make Jesus Christ the head of this church. Lord, on behalf of all the people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we lift up this prayer in your name. Amen.
pray with me? Father, Creator, we thank you for the beautiful morning you've given us to come and worship you. It's such a beautiful time of the year, and we love the cool weather and the sunshine, and we look forward to the color of the leaves. Only you can create such beauty, Father. We love you and thank you for the many opportunities you give us to reach out and be your hands and feet. Forgive us when we don't recognize these opportunities that you place before us. Help us to be more aware of them. Help us to be your servants, to minister to the poor and the sick and the weak and the lonely. Now, this Father, take our meager gifts and use them in us for the furthering of your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to take a copy of God's Word. If you have brought one with you, great. If not, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. And join with me reading in Mark chapter 9. We'll be reading verses 38 through 50. We're gathered kind of around the theme of who gets to give a cup of cold water? Who gets to give it? Reading from Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he's not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to go two hands into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." I don't know if it's just me, but this passage seems a little bit harsh. If you think about it, these things of it's better for you to enter life maimed, it's better for you to be crippled, it's better for you to see only out of one eye, that these seem like very dire statements. And I think they are. They're very dire statements by Jesus meant to shock us, I believe, intentionally and for good reason. It's very blunt. And it can be very devastating language, but the purpose of that is to help us to recognize that Jesus hates sin. He hates sin because he knows how it destroys our relationship with the Father. Now, if you look at this passage, if you want to take it literally, obviously this hand chopping and eye plucking and foot severing wouldn't work for no other reason than we don't have enough body parts to atone for our sins. I really think we'd probably end up looking much like the Black Knight of Holy Grail fame if we tried to do it. And besides all this dismembering, you think about the sins of the mind and you think about the sins of the tongue. We only have one of those. And I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect in that regard, so it only takes one. So I don't see these words as being literal, as in, be sure and do this. But I view them as a way that Jesus is helping us to see who we really are. That we are sinners in desperate need of redemption. And he provided the road for that. And it's in his love for us that Jesus wants us to see the ramifications of our actions, the ramifications of our thoughts, the ramifications of our attitude, and how that destroys our relationship with God. He says very clearly, I think he says very clearly, that he does not want us to wind up in hell. He says it multiple times within this passage. And obviously, God does not want us to perish. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires that everyone be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The problem is, we adopt our own truth. Instead of taking God's truth, we adopt our own. And that was kind of the problem with John. In the first part of the text there in verses 38 and following, that was John's problem. Because John was so sure that every exorcism had to be done by Jesus or one of the chosen, one of the disciples. Yes, we're the 12, the proud. And so he had this kind of mindset that, you know, I've got to stop this guy because he's not one of us. How can he do something in Jesus' name when he doesn't belong to the group? Well, when John told Jesus what he had done, he received a surprise because Jesus answered him in verse 39, "Do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in my name can in this next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us."
I tell you the truth, anyone who gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. So what's going on here? Whoever is not against us is for us. Exclusivity among his followers is something that Jesus was not going to tolerate. This is a teachable moment, as teachers say. This is a teachable moment. He has the disciples' attention. See, the disciples had tried to define and to limit those who could do Jesus' work. You had to be part of our club if you wanted to be really doing God's will. And the lesson here is that we should not build barriers. We should not build barriers or think that we have the divine knowledge of exactly what God's will is and it's got to be done this way or exactly that way. Jesus is saying it's more important that the work be done and be done in God's name than who does it. Now let that sink in for a minute. Because we live in a very self-centered church. Not College Park. I say church with a capital C, meaning the whole church throughout the world. Egos abound. Among denominations, among congregations, who's going to get the credit? What's going to happen? Who's the healer, the minister, or the prophet of privilege? How's this going to work exactly? And Jesus says it doesn't matter who. Who is not the issue. The issue is that the job get done, and it get done in God's name. You've heard the saying, you know, when nobody cares about the credit, there's no stopping what can be done. The same is true here. God works within the church. Amen? God works within the church. But God also works outside of the church. Everyone can be a worker in the kingdom of God if they will submit themselves to his will. Because Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us. And some of you are thinking, time out. Wait a minute. I thought it was whoever's not for us is against us. I thought that's the way it read. Well, that is the way it reads. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 12 and read those verses in context, that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, whoever is not for us is against us. But he was talking about different matter here. And what Jesus is saying here is in the work and in the work of the kingdom of God, whoever is not against us is for us. The assumption being that those who are for us are going to be working in God's name. So all the world is God's. I think we'd agree on that. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord and all that's in it. So Jesus is saying, do not limit God's work. It's easy for us to confuse the means with the ends. We should look at the end, determine what we feel like God wants us to do, and that should determine the means. How we work through it. The church's approval, church with a large C, it's not critical. It's non-essential. Because as God does his work, God does his work through the church, God does his work through other people. The church has no monopoly on God's grace. We are to be partners in ministry, not obstructionist. And sometimes our own understanding, our own narrow view of what God's work is can get in our way. As sinners, we acknowledge that all of us can be a part of God's family. All of us can be a part of what God has to do for us. And we can't say, you're a sinner, you can't come in, you can't be a part of that. Except, hear me clearly. There is a scriptural mandate which says when and under what circumstances those who are living in unrepentant sinful lifestyles are to be refused fellowship within the church. That's not what Jesus is saying here. That's separate matter. What Jesus is saying here is that if others are striving to do God's work, if they're striving to be a part of God's will, despite the fact that they don't carry our brand, we should include them and welcome them and encourage them to continue doing God's work. We've got to get past ego, and we've got to get the work done. More wonderful news for us is the fact that we're not obligated to do huge things because huge is in the eyes of God. We are obligated to be faithful to the task that he calls us to. Jesus gave an example of that, you know, in kind of a mustard seed fashion. He said, even something as small as giving a cup of cold water to someone who is thirsty. Jesus says, when we do something like that, when we remember others in need, he says, you're doing it unto me. So we don't judge. We minister. And we welcome those who are willing to be a part of the ministry in Jesus' name. And we join together in our efforts to do what we can to fulfill the mission that God has placed on our own life and God has placed on our life as a church. We work hand in hand. We offer our energy, our time, our possessions, even a cup of cold water, even a cup of hot coffee. And we don't fight about who gets to give the cup of cold water, because there's plenty of cups to go around. Amen? Amen. As we come to the communion table, let me say, we practice open communion. If you are a believer, if you are a born-again believer, we invite you to join with us as we share in a time of communion together. One of our own young men, Nathan Morgan, baked the bread himself and cut it into pieces for us for communion this morning. That is his offering of worship. That is his offering of service. So when Jesus said, "Eat this and remember me," how should we remember him? We should remember him in our worship, and we should remember him in our service. Jesus said there is a new covenant that he was making with us, and said his blood represents that. And so as we remember him, we remember that we're given a second chance, and a third chance, and however many chances, because every time we come to him, remembering him in confession, he says he will forgive us. It's important for us to recognize and to remember the nature of our faith. And so in your bulletin, you have an insert that's a covenant. It's a covenant between us and God. It's also a covenant remembering and encouraging those who are new believers in the faith. And it's good to remember why we are here and what we represent and the nature of our faith in God. So as we participate together, I pray it will be a time of renewal and recommitment for you. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under the Pontius Pilate, was crucified,
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers for each other and these new believers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord.
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
These things we covenant together before God. Amen. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing a hymn. It's a hymn of response. It's a hymn of invitation. It's an opportunity for you to respond to what you've experienced in worship this morning. As you've seen those who are baptized, Maybe the Holy Spirit's spoken to you and is drawn you to Him. If you're not a believer and you feel the Holy Spirit drawing, I would be glad to talk with you and pray with you and help you to establish a relationship with the Creator of the universe who wants a personal relationship with you. If you are a believer, you've never been baptized, and as you've experienced worship, you say, I think I need to do that as a step of obedience and an example. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Maybe as we've read together a covenant of new believers, you're reaffirmed in your faith, and you would just like to pray where you are, or you can certainly do it here at the front, kneeling, or come and pray with me. I'd be glad to talk with you about renewing your relationship with Christ. If you would like to come and pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to move here in this congregation as we sing together and as we pray together, I invite you to come pray. If you would like to be a part of this membership, again, we distinguish between the fact of there is a huge church of all believers, but there's also a very specific congregation, and we invite you to be a part of the good things that we feel like College Park is being led to do. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. I invite you to remain standing for just a moment. Lisa, if you and Tyler would come. We want to give to Lisa Patterson and Tyler Lee remembrance of today. They have their candles and their cups to remember, but we also want to present to you a certificate of baptism and a new Bible. I hope that you'll read and study daily. And Tyler, the same for you, buddy. Your certificate of baptism and a new Bible, buddy. We want to invite you to come by and speak with them as you leave. Offer a word of encouragement. That's one of the most important things we do as a church. We worship together, but we also encourage each other, and we serve together. So I invite you to come by and speak with them as you go out from this place. Speak to one another, and we invite you to come back tonight. We'll be worshiping at 7 o'clock. We'll also have Bible study at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a special project tonight. Right, Cindy? Exactly. Very good. A chance to put your service hands in practice. So let's pray. Dear Father, as we go from this place, Give us a sense of assurance of knowing that we walk with you. We step in accordance with your will. And then we seek actively to do what you would place on our hearts to serve you, to be your hands and feet, to be a vessel that's worthy. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.